Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Once again, this is the, what is this? The Believer's Voice of Victory. Yeah, that. Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And we have a magnificent group in here today, and two very special people from India. Glory to God. Welcome to this broadcast today. Praise God forevermore. I tell you what, I love it, man, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Let's go back there, Greg. Oh, and forgive me, everybody, for the eight people in the world that don't know who Professor Greg Stevens is. He is First Covenant's professor in Kenneth Copeland Bible College. That's still kind of strange to me, my name on a Bible college, but they did it anyway, so.
It's an honor to be part of it.
Praise God. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that his knowledge of words. People are saved and healed by hearing words. This book is a book of words. Covenants are made in words. And words are the most powerful thing that exists in the human experience. God used words to create the universe. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, let me remind you, this is referred to as the Word of God because it is record of two covenants.
Yes, sir.
Both of them, well, the first one began with the blood of animals. Kill the animal, not the man. And then through circumcision, the blood of a man. And then in the second, or what's referred to as the new covenant, is an extension of the first one. We have to stay covenant-minded all the time, because you get lost in the importance and the power that's involved in words. And this, that, and to make it simple, two blood covenants. First, two parts, blood of animals, blood of a man through circumcision. The second, the pure, sinless blood of God. And the whole thing began right in the very beginning. And we won't go into all that. But now, when we have this in mind, that these two covenants, does God heal you because you have faith? Well, it takes faith to connect with that healing. Does he does it because he loves you. And he is so good.
Yes, yes.
That sickness and disease is an absolute abomination to him.
Yes.
Because he created this body for himself.
Yes, he did.
He created this human body in Adam in which God could dwell with him. And we know what Adam did.
Yeah.
Messed up over the tithe. So, and so God began immediately to get the blessing back that he conferred on Adam through covenant.
Use covenants to do it.
Only a good God would go this far. And this good God, to get that blessing back. This is the biggest thing in his heart and mind, is to bless. And sin's in the way. And through the prophet Isaiah, he said, I am he who blotteth out your transgressions for my sake. For his sake? Yes. If he remembered your sin, he couldn't bless you.
That's right. That's right.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
And sin required a curse. It required judgment. Notice what he did. As I was prompted this way, you were talking there. When Adam rebelled, committed treason, messed up over the tithe, God did not curse whom he had blessed.
No, he didn't.
He didn't curse the man. He cursed the ground.
Yes.
So he's now going to use, oh, so good. He's going to use man to redeem the ground. He'll start with Noah. He'll curse the earth again, but then Noah will begin to redeem it, now replenish the exact same blessing. Yes. And throughout the time, man is redeeming the earth because it had been given to us.
Yeah, it belongs to mankind.
But he didn't curse his man. He cursed the ground.
That's right. He'd already blessed mankind.
That's right.
He'd already blessed mankind.
That's right.
And I'm going to say this again because I especially want the radio and television audience to listen to this. Two things you cannot depend on. Wikipedia.
Well, it's got wicked in it. Wicked.
Yes. And, you know, and an artist who paints Adam and Eve with a belly button.
That's right. That's right.
I've seen that.
They weren't the Pillsbury Doughboy where God just did this.
Adam, a scar, yes, but that's it.
That's it. That's exactly right. In his side, exactly where Jesus will have a scar in his side.
Now, you cannot trust what people say about the goodness of God. You can't say what history says about the goodness of God. An insurance policy calling a tornado, a hurricane, an act of God. That's ignorance of the natural man concerning God.
Trying to understand something with your natural mind.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what that rich young ruler guy, this guy who came to Jesus, I think that's where he is.
It's obvious that's where he is because he really wants the answer to this question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he came to hear him. He humbled himself before him and came to him. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
In that 18th chapter of Luke and the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do? Or good rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what he said. Good rabbi. What's he saying? You're the smartest, you're the wisest rabbi I ever heard anything about. You are really good. I mean, you just don't mess up. And he was excited. You can tell that.
Mm-hmm.
Good master, good rabbi, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. You know, and all these things that I'm kept. And he just keeps telling him, sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor. That's the first thing Jesus is called to do is preach the gospel to the poor. So what's he kind of trying to get out of him? He's trying to get him, you come with me. Come on, dump all this stuff. What had he said to his own disciples? Don't take anything with you working for me now. I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of it. You just dump all of that. Just dump the biggest seed you could imagine.
And that Greek word we learned from Renner yesterday is a philanthropist.
Yes.
He's putting him in business of blessing people.
Yes.
But I pay attention to the conditions to
had
the word.
Had that man, had he been aware of the Jubilee.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Had he really been aware, he had, and what Jesus actually preached, the acceptable year of the Lord, which is supernatural debt cancellation and return to all your wealth and riches.
That's right.
He would have said, let me have some of this. Get rid of all this.
Write the check right now. Here.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And the Lord pointed this out to me once, Greg. He said, I would have directed his giving.
Mm.
I wouldn't have just, if he had said, I'll do it. then I would have directed his sowing and his giving so that it wouldn't be just random. It would have produced the most harvest of the magic harvest available, and he would have been right there at my side all the time. I would have been directing him all the time. And the tradition says it was Barnabas. Now, who started that big giving thing in the church?
He learned.
Barnabas.
He learned from it. Yeah, he learned from it.
And he was there all the time. You know he was there at the cross. You know he was there all the time. He saw it all. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So if you pay attention to what he says, because pay attention to what they say. That's who sets the conditions.
That's right.
It happened with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus set the conditions. Listen to this. Good master, mm-hmm. Rabbi Tov, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Yes.
Now you're going down. And so he told him, why do you call me good? He stopped him right there. You know the commandments. These are all the things you do. Verse 21, all of these I kept. He's pointing to himself.
That's right.
And his self-righteousness. Well, Jesus isn't going to have any of that.
No.
The minute you start that, now put it in context of everything else that's happened in the script in this passage. In this passage, you have a woman who comes before an unrighteous judge, and she won't stop, you know, hitting the unrighteous judge. Well, God's not the unrighteous judge. You know, we've been taught, I was taught that when I was a kid. This is the way you got to pray. You just got to keep hanging on. You just got to keep beating on God till he finally relents. Well, you're saying that God's an unrighteous judge then.
Yeah, and that's not going to work.
And that's not going to work.
And that's where my being a scripture little literate came real handy.
But we were taught that. That's the way you pray. You just keep going and you just keep doing it and you keep doing it. Well, see, that's not praying in faith at all. That's trying to make God do something that he already wants to do. In that same passage, you have a Pharisee praying who's standing and he's, I thank you, Lord, that I'm better than this guy over here. So this is all happening in context with this. Now this guy comes in and he's boasting like the Pharisee did of what I must do and what I have done.
Yeah, I've already done all of that. I've done that since I...
Yeah, yeah.
I would add this. I've done that since I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when he was bar mitzvahed. Mm-hmm. I've done that since I became a man at 13.
Right.
And I have kept the law.
So Jesus, in this passage, it's the same Greek word that we saw yesterday in Rick Renner, agathos. It means a moral goodness in relation to God who is morally perfect, and it causes out of that goodness to come out of you to bless people. It's that philanthropist thing. So it's clear from the rest of their conversation that his response is trying to get to the root cause. Jesus is getting to the root cause of this man's heart.
Oh, that's good.
And that's what he's doing. No one is good except God alone. So now everything Jesus does in this Second Testament, in the Second Covenant, is fulfillment of the first one. I didn't come to change the law or to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. Well, he quoted scripture right there. Chapter 14, verse 3 is written, there is none who does good, not even one. Jesus is quoting that in answer to the man who's kept the scripture all his life.
I love it.
So he's not saying, I'm not good. Only God's good. He's quoting what the psalmist wrote. He goes on to say to the eternal life, you got to obey the commandments. Well, the commandments are the ones that are going to tell you, you need a Savior. Savior standing right in front of him, but he's not looking at the Savior. He's looking at himself.
He
says, you've kept all of these since your childhood. Earlier, he got him to slow down a little bit, to think through it, what he mean. What do you mean by good? That's what he's doing. He's trying to stop him. The man still thinks he's righteous, though, by what he did and what he's doing.
That's what he wants to continue to do.
Right.
To gain eternal life. Let's look at that again.
Yeah.
What must I do to inherit eternal life? There's nothing that I could do to inherit what A.W. Copeland owned. That's his business. That's what he wants to do with what he has is his business, not mine. Now, when people try to get into that and get to trying to get somebody to make them an heir, you know that's wrong. When you even start thinking about that, you know that's wrong. What must I do to inherit? That statement doesn't come together. What must I do to inherit? What must I do to gain favor with God so He will give me that?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Jesus cuts.
And by covenant, He already had it.
He already had it.
Yes.
He's the son of Abraham. He has all of this. He comes right to the point. Jesus cuts right to it in the 21st verse of Mark 10, the third statement.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's get over there. Mark 10.
I'm sorry. No, right here. You see it in Luke, and then I'll show you this in Mark.
Yeah, I want to see it in Mark.
Jesus heard these things. One thing lackest thou. Sell all that you have. Distribute unto the poor. Thou hast treasure in heaven. Here's the deal. Come follow me.
Yes.
He's trying to get him off of the law of do what I've done into I'm the answer to this. I'm the answer to the law which proves you need a Savior. He didn't stay to hear the sermon. He didn't stay to hear the rest of it.
Well, what did he say? You come join my team.
Yes. Follow me.
Come follow me. Just get in here with this. Forget about what you've been doing. Forget about your job. Hey, are you listening to me? Forget about your job being your source. Forget about all of that. I didn't say go quit it. I said forget about it as your source. That's not your source.
Yes.
That's possibly a channel. But hey, if that job's not good enough, praise God, believe God for another one
that's
better.
Right.
But forget about that. You are born again child of God. You have you have already all that you need. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus said that kingdom is in you right now. Everything you need is right in here.
Yeah.
And faith will pull it out.
Right. Woo. Amen. Now think of that. Come follow me. What's he trying to do? He's trying to become part of the team. Follow me.
Yes.
Think back now to Acts 10:38. For God was with him.
Yes, He was.
You're going to see healings like you've never seen before when you're with me.
Yes.
He's trying to get him to be with me.
Yes.
See, we have him with us, God with us all the time. He's trying to get him into that position of relationship, but this is all about relationship.
Yes.
Into a covenant relationship with Jesus.
He would have been there. I've since I recognized that he was Jesus' replacement for Judas. And I realized that he would have been there then all the time. He would have been right with them all the time. He would have been right there. He would have been so close and so involved in everything that he did. Then when Judas pulled what he pulled, he would have been next in line.
Or the Lord might have even made a change.
Yes.
In his staff.
Yes.
Which, not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because he is good. If you look at the same thing in Mark chapter 10, here's the exact same.
Mark 10, go ahead.
Exact same things. In verse 17, and when he had gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do? There it is again. That I may inherit eternal life. Jesus said unto him, why you call me good? There's none good that is but God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. He answered unto him, master, all these I observed from my youth. All of them I did. Then Jesus, behold, look at that. I love this.
No,
I love verse 29. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him.
He loved him.
And said, he wasn't mad at him.
No. The look of love. He beholding him, loved him. So he didn't have a chastising tone in his voice. One thing you lack, brother, go sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. He was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And he just left just a second or two too quick. And Jesus answered, said, verily I say unto you, thank you, Lord, I will. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure. Absolutely. They were all rich men when God called them.
Yeah.
They had money. But they did what this man refused to do. They did it.
They did it.
They just sold it, dumped it, walked off.
Right.
And then Jesus said, when I ask you to leave it all behind, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lacked nothing.
Which shows you where his trust was.
Yes.
His trust was in what he had, what he had accomplished, what he had done.
That's it.
And he said, I'm trying to get you to let me be with you. And the Lord and God was with them. I'm trying to let that happened for you. If you'll be in my presence, you'll see things you've never seen before.
His biggest mistake was leaving. He walked away.
Absolutely.
That was his choice. He walked away.
When you look at this chapter in context, they're teaching about the Pharisees of trying to trick him on divorce and remarriage. And so once again, it's a pharisaical, it's a conflict with them. And this is what boils it out. The same thing in Matthew, you have the same subject being approached here. And say, well, now there's a contradiction here. That doesn't line up. No, it does line up. You have a woman who's going before a judge and they're talking about divorce. I think it's two parts of that. I think that was the parable of the sermon. He's teaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage when this guy comes up, which takes you to the law, which is why Jesus pointed him to the law, which takes us to the goodness of God that created male and female. All of this ties to goodness, Brother Kirk.
Yes, it does.
And when you put it all in context, you begin to see it. Each little piece ties together. See, God is holy, and so there's a holy standard, the law. And he's trying to say, you haven't met that. But if you'll believe on me, you'll meet it. If you'll come with me, follow me like these guys did, you'll meet that standard because he breathed on them.
Yes, he
saved
did.
Them. And he didn't, he wasn't, you got to understand, and I want to point that out again, he was not angry at this guy. He looked at him and loved him. And so even when we miss it, when we sometimes make mistakes and don't understand something, never is angry at you because he's good.
Yes, he is. And we're out of time. Whew. Aren't these 5-minute broadcasts wonderful? Come on, Jeremy, son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Papa. God's goodness will draw the blessing into every area of your life. Through your covenant with God, you can expect to see the blessing of the Lord provide for everything that you need. Now, that's good news because in the face of shortage or lack or a deficit, God proves His goodness through His love, through His covenant, and through the blessing.
The laws of the Spirit govern the whole earth, but what are those laws? In Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Releasing God's Love in You, he explains what the laws of the Spirit are and how they affect your daily life. Understand the character of God as your Savior and Father. Learn how releasing the love of God that's in you activates His Word and power into your life so you can love and believe on purpose and see the blessing that God has for you. When you sow the love of God into what you're believing for, you'll see the harvest of His promises come back to you more than you could ask or think. Fill your spirit with the right words so you know what to do and say when challenges arise, and watch God's love turn your situation around. Stop strife and unforgiveness with the love of God and take back freedom and peace for you and those around you.
Request your free copy of Releasing God's Love in You, available on MP3 disc by Kenneth Copeland. Choose to live in God's love and see how everything lines up with His promises for your life and those around you. Go to kcm.org/victoryoffer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It's an audio series called Releasing God's Love in You, and they want to sow it into your life. All you have to do to receive your free copy on MP3 or as a digital download is to request it on kcm.org. Now, this teaching by Brother Copeland will show you how to activate God's love to bring the blessing into every part of your life. Now, right now, just picture the challenge that you're facing, whatever it is. When it comes into contact with the love of God, those circumstances have to change and line up with God's promises. So get this series and begin releasing the love of God that's in you right now. The Southwest Believers Convention begins next Monday, August 2nd, runs through the 7th. It's here in Fort Worth, Texas. We invite you to join Kenneth Copeland for this six-day event, along with Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, Bill Winston, and Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's. And this is a place where you will hear the Word of God. You're going to hear about His goodness. You're going to hear how you can prosper in every area of your life and be well. And whatever God promises you, you can have it. So come be a part of a move of God that will build your faith. And if you can be there in person, I encourage you to get in this meeting, because there's something about being in a spirit-charged atmosphere of faith together with thousands of believers praising God, believing God, declaring the Word of God. Come make this a time for the whole family to get away. Bring your children, bring your teenagers. There's services for them too. For more information or to register, go to kcm.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a free copy of today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, go to kcm.org/victoryoffer. You can request it on DVD, CD, or download it to your computer or mobile device. Continue to grow in your faith in God and live in the wisdom of His Word. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.
This August 2nd through the 7th, Kenneth Copeland Ministries will be at the Fort Worth Convention Center for our annual Southwest Believers Convention. Join us all week for some powerful and anointed teaching from the Word of God. Come be a part. August 2nd through the 7th, where the West begins and faith never stops. Register today at kcm.org/events.